Thanks for listening to Talk Radio 1210 WPHT On Demand.
I am ready to go. Let's do this. If you are listening, please call me. You direct the show today. The number is 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. I'm looking out here on social media, and you guys are already whoop, whoop out here. I love it. I love the energy. I do. We got to keep that energy up. I mean, these people are crazy out here. I'm sure you guys have seen and been paying attention to former FBI Director James Comey. So Secret Service went and picked him up yesterday, took him into their office, escorted him into their office, had an interview with him. He was released. I put out there on social media, guys, go like me at on Twitter or now known as X, at Kathy4Truth, Kathy4Truth. Also on YouTube, I'm a little bit of everywhere, but primarily I spend a lot of time out there on X, unfortunately. I mean, it's like a good and bad kind of situation, but nevertheless, go out there, find me. And I put out there yesterday, like, that's a good first step of going, picking him up, taking him in. I mean, they certainly did not do what they did to Donald Trump when the Biden administration was in office, when they gave a tip to the media. They were outside of Mar-a-Lago in Florida, and the FBI did a midnight raid on Donald Trump's home. And, you know, and tossing things, and they took photos, and then they released a photo. So they didn't, our side did not embarrass Comey in that way. Instead, you saw him being escorted out of his home and into the back of a sedan, and they drove him to the office. But now they've released him. So that was a good first step, but that cannot be the only step. I'm sure most of you know what I'm talking about. Former FBI Director James Comey put out on his Instagram, I think it was Thursday, maybe Wednesday night, an Instagram post that read 8647. Now, even I know gangster lingo of what an 86 is, right? Let's 86 somebody. That is, let's get rid of them. Let's take them out, right? And so here you have the former FBI Director James Comey putting that out there. He got taken to the woodshed, taken to task for that. Immediately, people jumped on that. And then he took the post down and put out some, you know, baffling rhetoric of, I knew it was political, but I didn't know it was political. I'm just going to take it down. No, you are the former FBI director for the United States of America. You knew what you were doing. And so, you know, whether we're looking at, you know, if this is just something boneheaded on his part, of course, that's what everyone would like us to believe now, even some Republicans. Oh, okay. He took it down. Enough done. Let's move on. This was insignificant. It was just him saying, look at me. Right. He has a book coming out. I think it comes out next Tuesday, May 20th. You know, look at me. I want to get back into the spotlight. So whether it was that or is something more, you know, we have a president, a sitting president of the United States, President Trump. He's on a high stake, high threat tour across the Middle East. Was Comey signaling someone to 86, the 47th president of the United States? Or do we even care what his intent was? I'm more in that category. I don't even care what your intent is, right? If you're poking me and you keep poking me, do I really care why you're poking me? Or do I just want you to stop poking me? I'm in the latter camp, right? I mean, I cannot jump into your mind and read your thoughts. I don't have that capability. So we don't know what his intent is, but we can all theorize what that intent may be. But we don't really know for sure. Do we even care? right? The only time anyone is interested in understanding the motivation behind someone's action is when it's the left, when we're protecting the left, when we're protecting those who have truly weaponized our laws, our rules of engagement. Then all of a sudden, we're interested in their intent. But when a sitting president back in 2016 tells a crowd of people to walk peacefully to the Capitol and exercise your First Amendment, and then you have some people break in, now we don't care about intent. We don't even care about the words. We don't even care that it was truly a mostly peaceful protest, right? Versus when Black Lives Matter and Antifa do a protest and a building is burning literally in the background, we call it a mostly peaceful because now we're interested in the intent. But when it's our side that is doing something or exercising our rights, all of a sudden your intent, why you're there, that is mostly peaceful, that our side did not kill anyone, but their side did on January 6th. Ashley Babbitt, yes, she was the only one who died as a direct result of that, of the encounter on January 6th. And it was their side, the government side, who shot and killed an unarmed woman. Yes, that has made its way through the court system. I believe her husband just received a settlement for all of that. So I don't know if we care. I don't know if we should care about the intent of James Comey. I think the only thing we should care about is that he made a threat. That is a clear threat. He put it out there. He is a consequential individual. And that is all that matters. So here's the message to the DOJ, the FBI, the Secret Service. It is now on your watch. This moment is another one of those crucial moments. We've had many of these crucial moments. What are you going to do about it? Will there be consequences of this knowingly reckless and dangerous rhetoric? Or will we just look the other way? I'm concerned that our side does not have the political will or the backbone to do what is necessary. But this is the moment. If we do not show that we're taking these threats seriously, that we have had enough of the left anteing up on this rhetoric, they're going to ante up again. Their riots, rallies, when we were shutting down U.S. aid and other things, turned, because we did nothing, turned into ratchet Representative Jasmine Crockett issuing out threats to take out Elon Musk. Now, of course, we care about intent when it's her, when it's the Democrats, right? Because did she really mean, right? Does is really mean is in this case? Now we care about intent, but that turned into what? They anteed up and they started throwing Molotov cocktails into Tesla building. They started beating up people, harassing people. They anteed up because we did nothing. We exacted no consequences. They did not have to take any accountability for what it is they're doing, which sends a signal. It will send a signal to me. Oh, I can just do whatever I want to do? Yeah, January 6th. Yeah, Biden administration shut that all down. If you thought you could just go out here and exercise your First Amendment, oh, no. See, we're going to shut that down. And they did. The side of the aisle that I lean more towards, oh yeah, they were shutting all that rhetoric down. You want to put a post out? Oh no. They created such an environment where we were self-censoring. We wouldn't even put out that the election was stolen, or that the election, that there were many threats to this election, that this election of 2020 was not on the up and up. People self-censored. Why? Because the government within the Biden administration made it very clear We are going to hold you accountable, even if we got to make up stuff, even if we got to weaponize the laws against you. We're coming after you. Now, our side, we're just doing nothing. No accountability. No one is being held account. No one is taking responsibility. And these are very reckless things that are being done. So we did nothing when Ratchet Crockett issued a statement to take Elon out. And right after that, we started seeing Molotov cocktails being tossed into buildings where people were around it. People were in it, throwing Molotov cocktails. We don't really want to talk about that. We did nothing. Then they moved on to destroying people's property. Tens of thousands of dollars of Tesla vehicles being scratched. People are on camera. Nothing really happened. Nothing happens. And now what? Now they've anteed up. And now you have elected officials bum rushing into federal buildings. Now all of a sudden we want to talk about intent. The intent of their heart. But when January 6ers were bum rushing in with no weapons, just walking through, just peacefully walking through. Oh, no. See, that's a threat to our democracy. And we got to take you out. We got to put all your biometrics out there on the internet so everyone can see, even future employers. We got to lock you up for years without actually having a court date. We could just keep delaying, letting you rot in prison because you peacefully walked through a federal building. But now we have elected officials bum rushing federal building. And now all of a sudden, oh, it's accountability. They just wanted to go in and oversight. No, that's not how any of that works. And we know it. So once again, DOJ, FBI, Secret Service, whoever else. I love what Tulsi Gabbard had to say about it. She's like, yeah, he should go to jail. Absolutely. Yeah, the spotlight is on you. What are you going to do? You're going to fold like a cheap suit, which is what most Republicans do because they're more concerned about how much money they're going to fundraise than actually flipping over the apple cart. I know we're getting ready to go to a break. But yeah, I want you guys call in. Let's talk about it. The listener line is 855-839-1210. 855-839-1210. Are we going to break or what? 855-839-1210. Yeah, so I just want to talk about all of that because what we're watching is our government is our people are becoming ungovernable. We're becoming ungovernable. And we cannot, our nation, our Constitution cannot long exist when we, the people, decide to break our agreement that we will be a representative government, that we will have these laws, this constitution, and we agree to come alongside it, to bequeath some of our freedoms, curtail some of our freedom for the good of this thing we call the United States of America. It's an agreement. Like, for example, you have the Supreme Court just came down with their ruling to temporarily block President Trump from deporting illegals. And what if Donald Trump decide, no, you don't really have any authority. You can't do anything. You don't really have an army behind you, Supreme Court. I'm just not going to listen to that. I'm going to keep departing. People will say, oh, the Constitution. Well, now we have a Constitution and we need to uphold it, Republicans. I see y'all on the other side. Call in 855-839-1210. 855-839-1210.
Thanks for listening to Talk Radio 1210 WPHT On Demand.
Hey, how y'all doing? Give me a call, 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. Let me tell y'all, my son and I don't know what all this extra music is, keeps popping in here, but my son and I were driving back from Washington, D.C. yesterday. Horrible weather over here, but we were driving back. Had a wonderful time in Washington, D.C., met with some very influential people, really, really excited about what's going to be coming up pretty soon. But we're on our way back, and I just so happened, we had made a stop, got back in the car, and I turned on Sirius XM, and I don't know how on God's green earth did I land on the Clay Kane show on Sirius XM Urban View. So I don't know how. I have Sirius XM. I have it all with, I have all my little channels with Patriot, with some Fox News, Justin News. I have my Christian music, my Christian family talk. Yes, that's what I do. But somehow I got in the car, turned on Sirius XM, and I was on Urban View. So if you don't know anything about Urban View, hence the name Urban. So it's all about Black talk, right? So this is a daily diet of what the majority of Black people are listening to. And this guy, Clay Kane, is a national show. He had callers calling in from all across the nation, New York, Florida, Texas, all over the place. So this is a daily diet during high drive traffic time. Anyway, I'm going to play a couple of clips because I actually called in, but I was on hold for like 20 minutes and I had to get off eventually. But I felt gaslit. So this is the first, I turned it on, I pressed the button. This is what I hear first. Play clip two.
You know, the project of whiteness in this country is one that speaks to, controls, is pervasive in everything that we do, and it's difficult to have any conversation, honestly, without that as a factor. I mean, nobody can tell me that Donald Trump won because he had better policy positions. He didn't. It wasn't because he was more qualified. He wasn't. It wasn't that he was more succinct or clearer or more empathetic or any of those things. He was a white man who was perpetuating, you know, whiteness and bigotry.
Okay.
And racism.
Yeah, yeah. I'm listening to that. That's the first thing I hear. I instantly feel gaslit. The project of whiteness. I'm like, oh my God, what am I listening to? And then he goes right into, no one can tell me that Donald Trump won because of his policy position. And I'm like, that's exactly why he won. And this is, and I went immediately to the thought, like, this is what Black people are listening to. This is their daily diet. A disinformation, misinformation. It is ridiculous. It's not based in reality. Donald Trump won as a direct result of his policies. And if you've listened to me for any time or know who I am or know about my race in Pennsylvania against Dr. Oz back in 2022 for the senatorial race where I was about to win. And of course, Donald Trump came right on in, him and Sean Hannity, and destroyed that momentum that we had. So you know I am not a part of some kind of cult, right? I am about policies. And I voted for Donald Trump because at the end of the day, we're grown people. I have a functioning brain, and I understand policies and what is going to be better for our country. And the thought of voting for that hackling hyena, Kamala Harris, that wasn't going to happen. Or voting for dementia-ridden Biden, that wasn't going to happen. And so here we are with Donald Trump. And it was as a direct result of his policies, right? Open border. He was like, no one can tell me. I just started listing them. Open borders, for one. Black people don't want open borders. Black people don't want illegals who are being dumped in their communities and urban areas. They're not being dumped in the in gated communities or in suburbia. They were being, these illegals we know nothing about, they were being dumped in predominantly Black and Hispanic communities. So they don't want that. They don't want resources that they are asking for with reparation being instead given over here to these illegals. So that was one reason why everyone, except for those 65 and over, as I've spoken about many times, every voter demographic shifted towards Donald Trump. I don't care if you're Black, brown, educated, not educated, a woman, a man, suburbia, hood. I don't care. Every demographic of people shifted towards Donald Trump, except specifically those who are 65 years and over, because, of course, you can't teach a old dog, new tricks. But there you have it. But I was thinking, you know, okay, Donald Trump policies, open borders, no end in sight with the Ukraine funding. By the time, I don't know, the last time I looked, we were up to $380 billion of our money going over to support a war where there was never communicated to us. It was a never-ending war. There was no end in sight. All we were told is Russia bad. We just got to keep forking over money to Ukraine. There's no exit. There's no viable way of winning. In fact, what we're really doing is chasing Russia, Putin, into the arms, into the embrace of Xi Jinping. That's not going to work out well for us, because we learned that China is trying to eat our lunch with what they were doing in Panama Canal, thanks to Donald Trump. That is a no-no. And then we found out about what China and Russia was doing up in Greenland in our backyard. That was a no-no. Donald Trump, these were his policies. And then we have October 7th and the way Democrats responded to that. We had all of these, communist, Hitler-esque people on college campuses accosting and beating up Jews and anyone who was sympathetic to what was going on over in Israel. That was on Democrats' watch during that election, and people saw that. Of course, we saw the disrespect around the globe. Biden has dementia. He's not really running the government. There's a shadow government that is really ruining our country. You have Kamala, who's a joke, boys and girls, bathrooms and sports and taking showers with our daughters, men in dresses, running our country. And we were just supposed to all look at this and say, it's just another Saturday. There's nothing wrong with any of that. So talk about policy. So that was the first thing I heard, and I was gaslit. Do we have time to play the whole clip for the next one? So then I'm listening. I'm arguing with my radio, and I'm calling in. I called in. I got through. They put me on hold. I'm just on hold for like 20 minutes, but I'm recording certain segments of it because I wanted to share it with you. Play clip one.
Created welfare as a lifestyle in our country.
Oh, my God.
Listen to this.
There should be new qualifications to receive the welfare benefits. You write, able-bodied adults receiving benefits must work, participate in job training, or volunteer in their communities at least 20 hours a week. So tell us about that. Is that a way to significantly cut back? How can the administration enforce those policies to reshape the welfare system?
Well, Maria, I think it's a paradigm shift. You know as well as I do, work restores dignity. Yeah. Work brings pride. You know, and our welfare system deviated from what it was intended to be from its origin. It was intended for the most vulnerable, to the most needy in our country. But now we've created welfare as a lifestyle in our country. And, you know, America is not a welfare state. America is a country of opportunity and a country of entrepreneurship. And so this will help us to encourage able-bodied people in America that are receiving government subsidies to work. You know, there was a study that came out, almost 50% of households that are receiving HUD funds, almost 50%, not one person in that household is working.
Hold on, pause right there. Okay, now, I'm going to keep playing this, but just listen to what he said. He said there was a study that showed 50% of households that receive HUD, that 50% of those households, there is not one person working. That's what he said. Keep going.
That paradigm has to change. At HUD, this is common sense compassion. We want to help people and invigorate and encourage people to work, able-bodied people to work. We're not talking about the elderly. We're not talking about those that are disabled. Able-bodied, able-minded people that are receiving HUD funding should go to work to restore dignity, Maria. Maria, you get up early in the morning and you work, you serve. And so we want to give other people and encourage others the same opportunity. And so this is a great step forward. Working with our colleagues at Agriculture and also Health and Human Services and Dr. Oz to be kind of a catalyst to change the trajectory of the lives of people in our country.
Now, I think it's a great point that you make, Secretary, because work is empowering. And, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Hey, where
I just want to say that it's. Oh, hold on. I got to do a quick fact check. I'm sorry, brother.
It is not accurate to say that 50% of people on HUD are on welfare.
Okay, pause. That is not what he said. That is not what the Trump administration secretary of HUD, Scott Turner, said. He said there's a study that came out that said 50% of households that receive HUD benefits that there's not one person working in the home. So 50% of these households, no one is working. He did not say Clay Kane said, that 50% of those with HUD benefits are on welfare. So this is the first gaslight. And again, I'm listening to this through the lens of what people are being fed on a daily basis. Continue.
That's wrong, according to US.gov. HUD programs like Section 8 housing provide housing assistance, not welfare. Welfare programs like SNAP or Medicaid offer a broad range of support for folks who have low incomes. So HUD's criteria, it's based on income. And many HUD programs, like the Section 208-202 program for seniors, have specific income limits. It's just not true. But I want to also say, as somebody who was born and raised on welfare, I'm fine with people working, able-bodied people working. I'm fine with that. That's beautiful. I work every single day. But if you want to do that, then raise the minimum wage. If you want to do that, then don't attack labor unions.
Okay, let's just stop because I'm getting heated again. Okay, we're getting ready to go to a break. Okay, when we come back, let's talk about that, okay?
Thanks for listening to Talk Radio 1210 WPHT On Demand.
We have elevated the lifestyle of so many people. There are more millionaires and billionaires in this country than anyone else. Sandy, I am looking at you, girl, out here on YouTube, and you are really bearing your soul. And I get it. And that's what in a lot of this, Sandy and others, I am going to be talking about next Tuesday night. I have been given a 3-hour special to cover what our House of Representatives in Washington, D.C. are doing right now. And that is talking about looking at and hopefully passing one big, beautiful bill that Donald Trump keeps talking about. And that will also codify many of the things on his agenda for the past 100 days. Plus, Donald Trump has done a lot, but he has not really had to pivot to Congress to do anything. Congress has been taking one vacation after the other. They really only work 3 days. They take off Friday because they're driving back home. Monday, they're driving back in. So the only days they really work and have full calendars is Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. So they've been taking not only short work week, as Republicans tell everybody else to get back to work, which I'm in full agreement with, but I think it's interesting that they don't even work a full work week. And not only have they been taking one vacation after the other, they really haven't done anything. The President Trump has not really pivoted to Congress to do anything to help him in these first 100 days. He's basically has done it all. And that's not necessarily a good thing because we don't want dictators in this country. And this is a precedent that is continuing. He's not the first president to behave like this. Certainly won't be the last. But I think it's interesting. He hasn't really had to pivot to the Republican-held Congress, House of Representatives, and Senate to do much. And now that he is looking for them. You've been off work basically for 100-plus days. You haven't really had to do anything. And now he's pivoting to them to do something to help codify his agenda, because his agenda has been very clear. Secretary Bessent has been very, very clear. It is all about trade, which Trump did with the tariffs. It's all about taxes, which is now he's pivoting to Congress to pass this bill, the Tax Cut Job Act bill that is a part of the reconciliation, the bigger reconciliation bill. And then the third element of Trump's agenda is deregulation, which he's doing. But it's always been about trade, taxes, and deregulation. And so, again, when I listen to, you know, I stumble upon the Clay Kane show on Sirius XM, this national radio show, and it is on the Urban View channel. So this is the daily diet of Black people. And there are Black people calling in from all across the nation, chiming in. And I'm listening to what this guy is saying. I feel gaslit. I'm calling in. I can't get through, or at least I'm on hold for an exorbitant amount of time. And so, but this is their daily diet. And then you wonder why people aren't getting it, because those who are in a position to give good information to make sure our electorate aren't ignorant on things that really matter. Well, this is the kind of, you know, donuts, sugary donuts and treats that they're handing out to people, right? Because maybe they don't know, maybe they do know and they don't care. They just have Trump derangement syndrome. I don't know. But I would love for you guys to call in and let's talk about it. 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. But I bring up about what Congress is doing and the management here at WPHT. They've been so gracious. They're allowing me to come in next Tuesday, giving me 3 hours. We're going to talk about it. I have all kinds of people who are going to be on. I have Trish Regan. I have Congressman Scott Perry. I have Senator Joni Ernst, who would be calling in, or who would be on the program. I mean, Alex Acosta. Y'all remember him. He was the former labor secretary under the first Trump presidency. And so many other people we're going to have on here, just kind of helping us to understand. And the angle through which I'm looking at all of this, even as I listen to the Sirius XM radio show, even as I'm listening, reading what you're writing out here on YouTube, Sandy, is all through the lens of the decimated middle class. So when I start to show this segment off with money, 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 it is real. There has never been as much wealth flowing in this country, in America, as it has been over the past 50 years. The problem is that there has been a high concentration of that wealth in the hands of a very few people. And I am not a communist. I don't hate rich people. So stop it. Stop being so juvenile in your thinking, and because you're being manipulated by it all. And so, as Donald Trump is reordering the global economy with these tariffs, he's breaking up the old agreement. And now he's over there in the Middle East. I mean, just racking up the deals to bring money back into this country. Last time I heard this morning as I was driving in, they're saying he has inked about $8 trillion of investments in products and work or jobs or jobs coming back here to this country. So that's what he's been doing. Amazing. But this past 50 years, we've had a boom in productivity. If I showed you the chart of what productivity has been, it's like a hockey stick. And so you have the stick part of it is straight up. Productivity has been high. But we, the workers, if you look at wages, they have essentially remained flat since 1971. So you have all of this productivity, which means money, because somebody is getting the benefit of this high productivity. All of that, all of the benefit, the overwhelming majority of the benefit has gone to the top 10%. The top 10% in America owns over 70% of the wealth in this country. And then you have the middle class. We have actually gone down. Our control of the national wealth in this country has actually decreased since 1971. The bottom 50%, theirs has decreased by half. So the middle class and the bottom group of people, we have actually declined in our share of the national wealth in this country from 1971. But the top 10%, with the top 1% specifically getting all of this benefit. We have so many millionaires and billionaires. There has been a concentration of wealth. And so we have to start having the conversation, and no one is really having this conversation about how do we make sure the next 50 years, as Donald Trump is reordering economic relationships to bring jobs and money back here to America, how do we position ourselves so that the next 50 years, the middle class, no one talks about the middle class. We only talk about poor people. And y'all know my background. I grew up on a pig farm in southern Alabama in a home with no insulation, no running water, outhouse in the back, and a well on the side. That's how I grew up. I grew up below the bottom rung of the economic ladder. So I know about poverty. But back then, there was a ladder that was erected that allowed me to do some things that allowed me to be able to climb my way out of dire poverty and into the middle class. But what has happened over the past 50 years is that that ladder has been removed. So nobody is really difficult to climb out of that bottom rung. I was talking to Dr. Ben Carlson, and we both agreed if we were at the bottom, underneath the bottom rung of the economic ladder today, it would be almost impossible for us to have climbed out of that situation and into the middle class. I'm getting ready to go to a break, but Helen, hang on, Helen. I'm going to come to you. She's on the line right now. Yeah, Helen, there's money flowing out there. There's money all over the place. We just got to make sure we in the middle class get our hand on it. So hold on, Helen. I'll be right back.
Thanks for listening to Talk Radio 1210 WPHT On Demand.
Okay, I'm going to go right to Miss Helen. Hey, Miss Helen, how you doing out there?
Good, Kathy. Good, good. Thanks for taking my call.
Absolutely.
I've been listening. I'm in my car actually heading to a book signing. I recently published a book called Emotionally Healthy Children.
Oh,
so
nice.
What I'm calling about is the comment. I 100% agree that our future is prosperity in our country with all the new jobs, with all the new opportunities. Now, what happens when people go to work? What do they need, especially if they're starting a family? They need childcare,
uh-huh.
Correct?
Yeah.
All right. So I train childcare teachers, directors, administrators. That's what I do. I've been doing it for 10 years. The wages in that industry are unbelievably low, and it's just not right. The people will leave childcare and go to work as a teacher and go to work at Starbucks and make more money.
Uh-huh.
So money may be flowing, but where are the priorities? And I'm not hearing it in upcoming elections where people are.
Oh, no, Helen, you're cutting out. Okay, see if you can get Helen back. See if you can get Helen back, but while you do, let me go ahead and just oh, Helen, you're back. Hey.
Yeah, I hear you, Kathy. Yeah, so we need to raise the standards, raise the bar on the quality of our teachers, but we're not going to do that unless we're willing to pay them what they're worth.
Absolutely.
So how do we fix it?
Okay, here it is, okay, because right now there are about five or six Republicans who are blocking Donald Trump's big, beautiful bill, right? So this is just one of many things. There's no magic silver bullet, people. It's stepping up, right? So one, we have the trade tariffs. Now we have taxes. And there are several key provisions within that Tax Cuts Job Act. One of them is, there are several, but one of them that I'm particularly interested in, and that is the SALT tax. A lot of y'all know exactly what that is, state and local taxes. And our Republicans right now, they have the ability to either do away with that cap that bars us from the middle class from actually deducting a lot of our expenses, or they can expand it to make it larger than what it is. They can also put a cap so that the millionaires don't take advantage of it, but that the middle class can take advantage of it. I think that goes a very long way. They also have the 20% pass-through that allows people, you know, most small businesses, business owners like yourself, you're a small business owner if you've written a book. Hopefully you have an LLC around that or a sole proprietorship.
Yes.
And that allows you, when they do a 20% pass-through, you get to reduce your taxable income. That can be anywhere from an extra $5,000 to $10,000, depending on what your expenses are. And so all of these things, they actually matter, right? We can incentivize. Our Congress has the ability to incentivize the right type of family unit, right? Middle-class people having children, and making sure that some of that money, that productivity, the all of this money that's going to come back, makes its way into the wages of people. So in the middle class, the working class. And so these are the beginning steps of not just reordering global economy, but also reordering the middle class. Because right now, the middle class is struggling. It feels like we're making decisions between bologna sandwiches or steaks, right? And it's becoming very precarious for people to be. And with these taxes, we have a school board race coming up, guys, on next Tuesday. In my own school district, we have Democrats. I know they pretend to be both ways, but the Democrats on the school board, they want to raise taxes, and they have the ability to do that. How many of us are paying enough taxes already? And they want to raise taxes, so they say, just to keep a just-in-case rainy day fund. We just built a brand new school. We don't have any issues with the brand new school, but they want to put aside, you know, $30,000 for 10 years down the road. The furnace may go out. No, we are struggling. We need to reduce our taxes. And our Congress people have a wonderful way of starting to do that with this Tax Cuts and Job Act. Thank you so much, Helen.
I hear you. Yeah. And I think all of what you're saying is making total sense. And yes, I agree with it. And yes, the school boards do need to flip a little. I'm in Montgomery County.
Oh, and you know what I'm talking about.
And yes. And yet, where is the emphasis on our next generation, the 0 to 5 year olds? What are we doing to prepare them? What are we doing?
I think, a part of that.
People in there at $15 an hour, $17 an hour, these teachers are being paid.
I just also a part of this reconciliation bill that we want the House to vote on is going to be the, I think it's called the ECCA, the it's an education equality bill that allows money to go, because this is how life works. I am not a proponent of raising the minimum wage. I don't think that fixes anything. We got to go. Helen, thank you so much for calling. But join me next Tuesday, 7 to 10 p.m. right here on WPHT. We're going to be talking about it, bringing in these high-stake individuals and holding their feet to the fire with love and rainbows, but with focus. Because we got some real problems in the middle class. We need to put a spotlight on it. We always want to talk about poor people. I get it. But we need to make sure that we do not become a nation of rulers and renters. And the only way we do that is by supporting the middle class. See y'all next week, next Tuesday.
This is Talk Radio 1210, WPHT On Demand. On Demand.